Mr. Chan Cheng Yen, Real 5. Mr. Chan, who were the groups in St. Patrick's School when you first came?
The B company is at the St. Patrick's School. Just a few days only. Later on, we were, when the other camp is ready, we were sent up to, that's where they call it, the Jalan Yunus camp. You know. There, we met the others.
So at St. Patrick's School, only B company?
Only B company was there.
No,
they didn't come up to us. Because by the time when they come up, the whole battalion come up, they have separate camps. And then later on, we were grouped together at the Jalan Yunus camp.
Were there any Singapore volunteers?
No. Singapore volunteer is not with us. Maybe they were at the beach road there.
So when the whole battalion came, which camp did you all meet?
Camp?
Which camp were you all grouped together? That means the whole MVC.
There is Jalan Yunus camp there. Jalan Yunus is the main camp there.
What kind of equipment did they bring with them from America?
Usually, it's, you know, once the equipment is something like they give you your rifle, your haversacks, your blankets, everything now, complete as a soldier, is it? Your rifle or your machine gun or something like that, everything you have to bring along, is it?
So at the Jalan Yunus camp, the whole Malacca Volunteer Corps, the whole battalion was there.
Yes.
Were there any other groups with?
No. The other groups is all belongs to Malacca SS, 4th Battalion SSBF is there.
Can you describe what was the general atmosphere in the camp like at this time?
Oh, at that time, most people were very happy at that time. See, because we have never experienced war in our life. This is what we feel, you see. But some are feeling sad and they were thinking of the future, what will happen, this and that. But to me, I take things very easy. I was very calm, I not worried of anything. You know? But I noticed some of our colleagues, they are sad, most probably because they were thinking of their families and all, whether this war, they will be ever survived or not. But to me, it's immaterial. If I die, it means if my fate comes, I die, that's all. And I leave to court that time, you see. I was thinking I was only a bachelor. Well, we can't help it since I've joined the war, and if I die, I die. I can't help it. But I pray hard to God that I can survive the war.
You mentioned that you had a rotation of duties,
yeah.
Nearly guard duties.
Yeah.
So, did you expect that you'll be in the front line fighting?
Oh yes, definitely we expect that. Sooner or later we expect that we have to be in the front line fighting. It depends lah. So maybe it depends on the rotation of these duties. Eh?
So what was your reaction when the Japanese landed at Kota Bharu on the 8th of December?
Yeah. Well, at that time we were thinking the war is coming nearer and nearer, you see. And the rumors, when I remember somewhere in January, when I have a free evening period, you see, our period is always in the towards noon after our breakfast, after our lunch, then we have a break of 1 or 2 hours break like that. There, I went out to town to meet my brothers, because I have brothers in Singapore at that time working. So I went to see my brother. Then my brother told me, British is going to lose this war, as what they heard in the radio. But they say the British propaganda are all nonsense, you see. They cannot stand with this war because they have no air force to defend them. So actually what I know, what I heard and my feeling, the British propaganda was so bad, the moral of the people of Singapore was very low at that time, and they already know that Singapore will fall, and those people that have money, they all ran away. They have money, they can just get away from Singapore, but the poorer people will have to stay. That's the feeling I had after the war. I had that feeling, you see. But when my brother told me that time, I could not believe him, because you know we are army people, we don't believe that. When he told me, you see how many people died, and my brother told me Singapore will lose, because one thing, Singapore has got no water supply. Our water supply been supplied from Johor Bahru. Once the Japanese cut the water supply, Singapore will be dead. The people will die because they have no water supply. That's true. That's quite true. They just cut the water supply and it's finished. Singapore water supply cannot supply the whole of the population. The MacRitchie and the Karanji, all the reservoir are very, very small. I believe that. Only as years goes on, now I realize, after my escape and I live to tell the tale, now I remember what my brother said to me. It's true, you see.
So at that time, how much confidence did you have, that the British could defend Singapore?
You see, actually, when the time when we were in the front line, we have no outside information. We rely on our officers. We do not know much anything. What is going on in the city, you see? At that time, Singapore is not a city yet. I think they call it a Singapore town, you see? We do not know much what's happening in town. So those only, we are in the front line, we do not know what's happening. But we had a feeling, since the beginning, from the northern part, they can come right down to Singapore. The chances are very, very slim. If we were to defend, they should have defend right on the top, not right to the end. And with the sinking of the Repulse and the Prince of Wales, there is no chance for the British. And just lately, I read about, there's a lot about this article going on as time goes on. Just lately, I read in the paper, they were saying that the home government, British government, were telling General Percival to surrender. But General Percival refused to surrender. They just use a tactic of holding back to delay the Japanese advance and for them to prepare to evacuate to Sumatra, isn't it? From Singapore, they incurred to Sumatra. When they captured Singapore, Japanese attacked Sumatra side, Indonesia. This was what I read. It's true. What? You just got to delay them. This is what they call it, scorched earth or something like that, isn't it? In China, they use that word also, scorched earth. This destroy bridges and all. See, like Malaysia, on the whole of Federation, they come down, they destroy the bridges just to delay the Japanese advance. Because the British know that they will lose. And when, I think when I was in the front line, we were just next to the Australian soldiers, the Australian forces, is it? even the morale of the Australian soldiers is very poor. They even told us, oh, we are no way of fighting to defend this war, I said. See, they have been right from the north. And they have been withdrawing right down to the south. They have also got no hope that the war will win, you see. They are also volunteers, you know. These Australian, almost quite a number of them are all volunteer people, you know. They say they are also the volunteers. They become armed forces just to fight this war, you see. You see, I think I remember there are nearly 400,000 or 500,000 British troops. Around 500,000 British troops just cannot fight the Japanese. Why? Because they got no support. They don't have air support, and they don't have the battleship to come in. They appeal for support. Britain always say coming, 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 but where? Never come. That is how they lost the war.
So what was the morale and general atmosphere in the MBC at this time?
Yeah, everybody's morale was very low, you see. Some of them say it's no use of fighting. Just don't fight. Just wait till the war ends only. Hope that we become the prisoner of war according to international. But the Japanese never take us as International Red Cross, you see. They just kill us.
During the whole period of the Japanese advance down the peninsula, what sort of preparation did the volunteer forces make?
No.
In regards to defense of Singapore?
Actually, we do not know about that. You see, we were from Malacca, just sent to Singapore, and from Singapore, we just concentrate on what our duties are. That is all. We do not know what is happening. They just withdraw and come down to Singapore. That's all. We don't know anything. What are the preparations that they are doing?
What about the preparations that the group itself take? Did they all make any kind of preparations for war in Singapore?
Yeah, that is, we were sent down to guard this place, guard that place, and like that only. And sometimes in the night, we put out barbed wire along the beach, Changi Beach, and all. We just put a barbed wire like that. Just like that only, nothing. It's very fast, the war. When the Japanese came down to Singapore and the war was so fast, it ended very quick.
We are involved in civil defense preparation, like
no.
Precaution.
No. That is, Singapore has got their own air raid. We are not in that category. Because we are armed forces, you see. We are the armed forces. We are armed, and then we were told to do our guard duty. If anybody comes in as a restricted area, we just shoot them, that's all. And those who are in the front line, they fight, that's it. But you see, another thing I forgot to tell you. The Japanese were using that kind of tactic, you see. When they advanced from Singapore, from Johor there, they came in. They never fight in the day, you know. They always come in the night. And they use civilian clothes. They don't put on the army, you see. They use civilian clothes. They disguise as Malays and all, you know. Just like, they try to get involved with the civilians like that. And we sometimes do not know that. But later we found out, orders came out saying that Japanese disguised as civilians. So orders came out, shoot any civilians who cross the line. You know, quite a lot of civilians been crossing the line. You know, like Bukit Timah and all those civilians, they are afraid, they run, you see, because they cannot stand. we are that the fighting area, they did not want to go out. So the guns been shooting out in and every night. Those big guns, the howitzers and all. So a lot of people died there. See? And during that time, after our third day when we were fighting there, that night we lost our captain, is it? Our captain and our bugler and a few of our boys were hit by these howitzer guns directly at the trench. The gun fell right into the trench, and we lost our officers and few men there.
During this time when you're on duties, do you get to meet other volunteer groups?
No. No. When we are on duty, you go your own way, we go our way. Because you see, Fort Canning and SVC headquarters is a different area. And then the camp is in another different area. So you cannot meet unless you come back to camp, only we meet them.
So, did you all know about the landing of the Japanese in Singapore?
Yes, we know. It was in paper and all.
So
it was in the radio and all. We knew the thing. And then we just do our duty, and some of them do not know when our time will fall to be in the front line. But the B company was very lucky, you see. The other companies, they were already sent up. Those remaining in camp were sent up to the front line. So the others were sent up. So the B company, only part of it, very few remaining in camp were sent up. The rest were still at Fort Canning and SBC. And these are the two groups that were very lucky. Because the communications broke down, you see. The Percival's orders came out. We in the front line did not get it, is it? Only those in town get it, is it?
What orders?
This is towards the end of the period war. It's going to be ended that the British decided to surrender to the Japanese. And they were given orders to those in charge of Fort Canning and SVC to be disbanded. And they were, each of them were given $50 as a pocket money for them to carry on. But we got no pay, we got no money, how to live on? We have part of it of ourselves. Everyone has got a little bit of money left, isn't it? So these people in the Fort Canning and in the SVC, they were all given $50. Destroy everything. Throw away your uniform. Throw away your identification, everything, and don't disclose that you are a volunteer.
Who were the people at these two places?
It's quite a number of them. I can't remember who and who. It's a long time already.
You mean only the Malacca Volunteer Corps?
Yeah, Malacca. They were all given that money, and they were given to try and get shelter, friends or relations or whatever you have. But we in the front line do not know anything.
Were there any other volunteer groups with them at Fort Canning and Beach Road?
Yeah, some of them were not at Beach Road or Fort Canning. Maybe they were on the other section, I don't know. Maybe at the power station or what. Like the D company, maybe they were in, and the C company, they were on all the other sections. They were also given the same thing, you see. It's only the Malacca ones and the Singapore ones, I think they were given. These are the rules that they lately I found out. They were given each $50.
So when was the order given?
That I do not know when. We presume that it was the very day they want you to go out before the Japanese came in. That means it must be on the 15th. It's around that time. They give that. Because they are surrendering on the 15th evening, they surrender. Then the next morning, the 16th, we in the front line were caught. Because we did not get, our officer did not get that order. So we were we were all the time asking the officer in command, shall we all be dispersed? The war has ended already. Shall we disperse? This officer said, we have no orders. We have to stay and wait for the orders. Well, we stay and wait for the orders till the next morning. The Japs came in and we were already taken prisoners.
You mentioned that those who remained in the Jalan Yunus camp were called to go to defend Clunie Hill. Who were the... How many remained?
Nobody remained anymore. All go up.
How many of them went up?
Around 30 of us.
All mixed company?
Mixed group.
From different companies?
Yeah.
But all Malacca?
All Malacca. All those remaining all goes up. And like some did not go, like those in charge of stores and this, maybe they didn't go. Only those who, like the ambulance, the intelligence, communications, all they were, they have to follow, you see. You need that, you see. In war, you need that. Dispatch riders and all, they have to go. They are the one that sends message up and down.
Of the 30 over that were ordered to go, can you remember how many from B company, how many from A company, and so on?
25 of us are Chinese, you see. Few Eurasians, few of them were Eurasians. And few a bit Malay, some headquarters like that.
Any Europeans?
Yeah, Europeans also have.
So how were you all told to go to Clunie Hill? Who gave the order?
Our commanding officer. We were taken by the lorry to go up there. We do not know the way, so the officers have a convoy to go up to Clunie Hill. We just follow, see. It's all the officers are doing the work. We just follow the orders. Like that only.
What was the general atmosphere then within that group?
Well, that time, when we first went up, the atmosphere was very tense, you see. Some were feeling sad. I remember one or two cried, you see.
Were there any other groups at Clunie Hill besides the group that went up?
But not our group. There are other armies, eh? Like the Indian Army, the Australian Army. The Indian ones are the Pathans, I think those Afghanistan, you know. British has got that kind of troop before, eh? And they are the fiercest people, you know. And then you got the Gurkhas all along there. Eh? It's a very big area there. I remember that.
Were there any other Chinese volunteers?
No. The Chinese volunteers, Singapore, we do not know where they defend. I think some of them, they were defending Pasir Panjang, some of them. I don't know why they defend Pasir. Oh, it's along the beach. Yeah, it's along the beach. And then part in Changi. But they never come that way.
So only the Indians, the Australians and the MVC, your group?
Maybe some more groups, I don't know lah. I can't remember those soldiers. Now I can't remember the names. I remember there's some of Indian soldiers also there. I can't remember which Indian soldiers.
You mentioned that you were fighting for 5 nights and 4 days.
Yeah.
So, can you describe what actually happened, took place then?
You see, in the day, the whole... There's not much firing, you see. It's quite calm, you see. But towards the evening, around 6 o'clock like that, then up to 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock like that, then the Japanese start to fire their guns. In the day, sometimes the Japanese planes fly overhead. But we don't do anything, you see. If you start shooting them, they know where your spots are. So you just keep quiet. The officers don't allow us to shoot. So in the night, they start to shell us. And that is where a lot of people died there, through these guns. They just fire. They know a lot is already in the field there. they shoot blindly, maybe, I don't know. Then we try to shoot back. So whatever movement we saw, we just fire back. We also start firing the same thing. Whether it hits the person or not, we do not know, is it?
Do you know where was the Japanese line at this time?
The Japanese line, when they start, that's what I say, we were on the 16th line of defense. So from the first line of defense, they cannot stand, they withdraw. The first line withdraw, the second line take over, the second line take over, third line take over, like that, until the Japanese are nearer and nearer and nearer. So these people keep on withdrawing. Maybe they are tired, they cannot fight anymore, they have to go backwards, and then this, we are the people that fight. Like that.
So from where were the Japanese firing at you?
Same along this, the other hill, like that. So we have to be careful in the night. We cannot move in the night. We just sit down there only. It's in our trench, be in the position of our trench and wait like that. Not much firing, is there? Actually, the Japanese don't fight a lot. They just shoot the guns like that, the howitzers like that, and slowly they surround you, you know. Those front lines, and then I don't know how they fight, you see. The Japanese were attacking from all directions, you see. And I don't learn much about it after the war. Actually, when they say surrender, then only we know that we were asked to surrender. But not much fighting on the front line. The more they just come in and capture the town only like that. That is why they just cut the water, Singapore got no water. The Japanese got nothing to do. I mean, the British people were already revolting without having water to live. And a lot of people run away here and there, commotion here and there. A lot of people died, this and that. Fire here, the planes bomb all that area. So the British got no way. They have to surrender. And when surrender comes, we are on the hill there, surrender. Not much people died there. A few unlucky ones were hit. See that?